The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott, Mark Slater and Sam Haggas in the studio. Brighton, Haydock and Yarmouth are the afternoon meetings. We have three in the evening as well, Chepstow, Sandown and Southwell. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio today is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm very well, Mark. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, I'm not doing too bad.
Good.
Racing's a little bit quiet at the moment, but apart from that, it's...
We're in the post-Goodwood slump,
yes.
As you get after each festival. So, we're all just think probably looking forward to the A-Ball meeting now at York. That's the next big one. And then we're into the Ledger meeting and then, you know, sort of Champions Day and that sort of thing. So, it's all right. There's one or two decent races, but, yes.
Well done.
There's one or two decent races, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. There's a good race coming up in France as well this week on Sunday, the Prix Jacques Le Marois.
It is going to be good. I don't think it's as going to be good as we hoped and thought it might possibly be.
Do you not think?
I'd be surprised. I mean, I know. Well, they've said that Toronado, they think he's probably unlikely to run.
Mm.
And although it will be a good race, I'm not convinced they'll run Dawn Approach either, personally.
Probably not, I don't think.
No.
He's had a hard enough time of it.
That's
anyway,
what I mean, yeah. If he's going to try and win a couple of big races in the autumn, he could probably do a little bit of a break. So it'll be a very good race. Very, very good race indeed. But as I say, probably not quite as good as we thought if one of those two or both of them, in fact, had have lined up instead.
Yep, fair enough. Other news stories on, Wednesday morning as we record this. Kings Barnes is in line to make a return, providing he gallops well at the Curragh on Wednesday morning. I mean, he was favourite for the Derby, wasn't he, after his Racing Post Trophy win, and he was impressive on that occasion.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting to see him back.
It will indeed, yeah, it will be very exciting, because I think as well, even though we've had all, you know, with the exception of the Ledger, of course, the rest of the classics now, both in England and Ireland, there's no really outstanding middle distance three-year-old at all, really. And so hopefully Kings Barnes can maybe step in and sort of fill that void a little bit with a good A return and B, you know, build up to better things. I mean, Daniel Brown's got one or two nice three-year-olds that I don't think we've seen the best of just yet. The time, Ruler of the World and Hillstar, I mean, they're good horses, but they don't excite me very much, I have to say.
Okay. And on the jumping front...
Yes.
The jumps horses are starting to go back to their winter homes, shall we say. And we're hearing that Rock on Ruby is going to carry on hurdling as well next season.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake, personally.
Yeah.
So I think he's probably... His best chance of winning the champion hurdle has gone, or regaining it in terms of this year, because next year is going to be so hard with the likes of My Tent or Yours and those horses lining up. I know Hurricane Fly is going to be, 10, but still he couldn't beat him this year, so there's nothing to suggest he can beat him again next year, on top form that is, because obviously he did beat him. But I just think that's probably, they're probably hanging on to something that's not going to happen. And personally, if he's minded, he'd gone jumping now. I don't think he can achieve any more over hurdles than he has already.
Okay. Would you have gone for the Arkell or something in mind?
Yeah, I think probably the Arkell would have been a good race for him, because he's better. You know, he's got good form over a little bit further. Mm. He stays 2.5 fine. Obviously, he was runner up in the Neptune as a novice. But and we tend to find those horses do well in the Arkell and those sort of 2-mile races. I think he probably would have been favourite for the Arkell, because he's got a big frame. I think he'd be a nice chaser, and I think he's going to be how old is he now? 7, I think, going on 8. Possibly, or it might be 8 going on 9 even. If he's 8 going on 9, you're literally saying goodbye to a chase career, I think.
Yeah.
So I think, personally, obviously, you know, if that's what they want to do, all luck to them. I hope he wins some good races, but I think his chances of winning another champion hurdle are lesser this year than they were last, and therefore obviously affecting maybe how good his chasing career could be.
Okay. We'll leave that there. Unless there's any other news stories that have caught your eye of late?
Not particularly, no. Apart from that little thing with the BHA introducing that extra fixture, I can sort of see both sides of the story. It's very dodgy ground, isn't it? So, but I think it all, you know, the point that I thought was the key thing is that having the break in September is probably the wrong time. Anyway, because you're just starting to build up. I think the break should probably be, instead of having a week in August and a week in September, have 2 weeks in August, sort of at the end of the month, and then from the 1st of September, bang, straight in for the rest of the jump season then. So, personally, but I'm sure it's another problem that will roll on as we seem to get little things like that never seem to be sorted out.
Yes. Let's roll on anyway.
Yes.
On this podcast, let's move on to Thursday's racing.
Yes.
You've picked out three races at Sandown. That's an evening card. And that's the 6:10, the 7:15, and the 7:50. So we'll start in the We'll start in the 6:10.
Yeah, I mean the racing on Thursday, as I say, and not all of it sort of is very exciting, but there are one or two good races, and overall Sandown is definitely the best card, as they tend to be whenever they race. They always seem to have some good horses on show, and this 6:10 is an interesting little handicap here with Dashing David likely to be favourite for Richard Hannon, and Pat Dobbs having won his last two starts. I mean, he only won by a head in a three-runner race at Salisbury last time, which I think is okay form, and it took him a while to find it, his form this season. He beat Gracious George, who's in the lineup again, but I think now he's going from three-year-olds against older horses, and it's a better race. I think he might just struggle a little bit again, Dashing David, personally. Okay. The one I actually fancy is Future Reference from the Godolphin team. He ran in an apprentice handicap at York last time over 1 mile. And I think he definitely would have won with stronger handling, shall we say. I don't think he got all the maximum assistance from the saddle that he could have done from an inexperienced rider in Ahmed El Sabusi. And I think back here under Sylvester, if he's near the front, because the majority of races this season at Sandown have seen horses who are to the fore, very few have come from the back, and I think going down a furlong as well under stronger handling might seem go pretty close. Of the others, Top Cop and Bravo Echo have both been running all right, but I mean Bravo Echo was disappointing last week, having won the time before. Top Cop was behind Kakapuka, who's in the lineup as well, and he won at Epsom last week in a similar race to this. He's consistent, and I think he's most likely to probably give Future Reference a run for his money, because He does seem to try his best.
Okay. One we haven't mentioned in there that's running into form, perhaps, Gracious George.
Yeah, well, he was second behind Dashing David in that three-runner race at Salisbury, and I'm not all that enamoured by the form for Dashing David, so it's sort of just as a general lead-on puts me off to Gracious George a little bit, but it wouldn't be surprise me in the slightest if he reversed the placings.
Yeah, he'd do well at the start in that as well, so getting around terms, he might have a better chance.
Where Dashing David sort of had a nice easy run of things, so it wouldn't surprise me if he reversed the form, but I personally don't think either of them will win.
Okay, Future Reference though is the pick.
It is the pick, yes.
Okay, the 7:15 at Sandown X, and this is over a mile and a quarter, and it's a Class 3 handicap. And we'll start here wherever you want, Stephen. What's caught your eye on this one?
Well, we'll start with what the selection's going to be, and that is number 2, Vital Evidence. It's trained by Sir Michael Stout, the mount of Ryan Moore. Was down the field last year in his only run as a 2-year-old. Came back and won first time out, nicely in maiden company. And then he stepped up from a mile and a quarter to a mile and a half. And he was last of three at Sandown. And I don't think he stayed, to be honest, in that race personally. He was sent off favourite. He dwelt and was then sort of taken to the front. And then, obviously, as his stamina was tested at the end, he started to weaken after, you know, 2 furlongs from home. And he was last of three. And I think he was last of three. It wasn't a bad little race. In terms of three-runner races, I mean, I know I just stuck the knife into the Dashing David one, but this was actually not a bad little race. And I think sort of going down in trip with a visor for the first time as well, and if he doesn't dwell coming out of the stalls, if he gets away on terms and he's fairly prominent again, he'll be in a good position to launch a challenge, because as I say, it's hard to make up a lot of ground from the back at Sandown this year. Taj Hees won 2 races earlier on. He was sort of always held behind Big Thunder at Haydock last time in a Class 5 race. He's going up in grade here to a Class 3. Against slightly better opposition, although Big Thunder has won since, in fairness, so that obviously gives his form a little bit of a boost. He won at Ascot next time out, but I think after his two wins early on in the season, the handicapper might just know where he is with him. Personally, I like Pearl Castle when he won his maiden last year, but hasn't shown anything in his two handicap starts, including first time out this year when he was behind Sea Shanty at Windsor. He's been off for 108 days, so I'd presume there might have been a small issue, which they've now sorted out. So if he can come back to good form. But obviously, although he led last time, it depends what Jamie Spencer does on whether he enhances his chance or not. If Spencer goes to the front, I think he'll have a good chance of shaking up vital evidence. If Spencer doesn't and goes to the back, I don't think he'll have much chance of shaking up vital evidence. Iktisas wasn't a great race he won at Doncaster last time, but it was his handicap debut and he came with a tremendous run down the outside from the back. But again, those tactics will not work really at Sandown unless he's well ahead of his handicap mark, because it's very difficult. But he was impressive the way he stayed on, because he was last turning into the straight and he just really thundered down the outside, and it was a likeable performance getting up on the line. And Arlecchiano won a maiden handicap at Pontefract. And that's not good enough, I don't think, that form to shake up the principles here.
Okay. So just to summarise, you're going with vital evidence?
Going with vital evidence, yeah. I think he's obviously unexposed compared to most of them. I think he didn't stay last time, visored for the first time. And if he races prominently, then he'll be in a good position to launch a strong challenge.
Okay, and on to the 750 then at Sandown. This is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's a Class 4 handicap, and we have an unbeaten runner in this. Regal Hawk made a winning debut as a two-year-old, has won both starts as a three-year-old, and importantly at Sandown, he's quite prominent in his races as well.
Yes, and that...
She.
That, and that all is very positive, obviously. The concern would be that the race that Carlisle she won was a fillies only handicap. And she only won by a short head from actual shoe size. She's a fairly reliable but exposed performer. Mm-hmm. And she goes into, again, a slightly more difficult race, I think, against boys as well. And she's going to need to continue the improvement. I do think the step up in Trippy will suit her, though, from... it's not all that far, actually, because of the way the distances work out at Carlisle, but about a furlong, roughly. But again... The opposition doesn't really do a lot for me, to be honest. You've got the likes of Coral Festival and Jeweled and Cayuga, who, you know, they're all right, but they're not superstars, and sometimes they're consistent but find it hard to win, or will win and then run a series of shocking races. So that leads me to Hassel, horse number three, who's trained by Clive Cox, who's had three starts so far, was beaten five lengths in a maiden at Windsor last time, quite comfortably by Regal Silk. But this is his handicap debut. I don't know if 79 might be a bit harsh for an opening mark, but it's only the same mark as Regal Hawk, but because of the weight for age scale, Regal Hawk gets £9 from Hassel. But really, honestly, none of the others inspire me with much confidence at all. I think Hassel's the only one that can beat Regal Hawk, and I think there's a chance that he might.
Yeah.
So because of the concerns with Regal Hawk, as I say, you know, as impressive as three wins is, because it's hard to do. Again, she's in a slightly harder race against open company as opposed to her own sex. She only beat a relatively exposed horse last time. I think I might take her on. I think Hassel might beat her on his handicap debut.
Okay. I might take you on. I might go. Should we have a match bet between Regal Hawk and Hassel?
Yeah, I think you'll be between those two, because the others, they've got nothing else. They've got nothing in terms of promise or, you know, then none of them are unexposed.
Yeah.
Without sounding, you know, sort of horrible, they've got nothing going for them. We know about them. We know what they are. We know what they do. We know how they race. And there's nothing that's sort of go, oh, well, that horse, where Hassel and Regal Hawk have. So I think between those two, I'm going to go with Hassel.
Okay, those are the two open to most improvement. That weight for age thing, I think it might be
£9. It is a fair whack, isn't it?
And Hassel obviously never won a race before. Regal Hawk used to winning it.
Yeah.
It does mean a bit, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, Mark, you know what I'm like, fillies in form.
Yeah.
So I've probably
all about the fillies in form.
Just shot myself in my own foot.
Right. Let's have a summary then. Let's put it in a nice little nutshell. If you give us your selections for Sandown one more time.
In a nutshell, selections for Sandown. The 6-10 future reference, I think, will be hard to beat under stronger handling with a furlong less to cover. In the 7:15, vital evidence down in trip for Ramor and Sir Michael Stout. And in the 7:50, a very tight race between two horses. Number 3, Hassel, and 8, Regal Hawk. But I'm going for the former. I think Hassel might hopefully just win.
Okay. Good work, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Cheers,
Mark. Enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Thursday's racing at Sandown. We also have Brighton, Haydock and Yarmouth in the afternoon, Chepstow and Southwell in the evening alongside that card at Sandown. Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater will be in the studio. They'll also be joined by Sam Haggis and they'll be live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.